2 Kings chapter number 2. Let's stand together. The Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." He's like, "Guys, duh, you don't have to keep telling me this. I know Elijah's about to leave." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also, and I like that word also, remind you of that message. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. He's going to do exactly what Elijah did. When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Okay, so we're going to get into, as we move forward in the weeks ahead, we're going to get into now the ministry of Elisha, which really was far greater than the ministry of Elijah in the things that God used Elisha to do. But at this moment in time, you know what we see? We see Elisha following a leader in Elijah. I just want to, that message was on my heart this week, and I'll tell you in a minute how it kind of came to fruition, but I knew where I was in the passage and was asking the Lord, what's the message? And I want to preach tonight on following the leader in your life. Following the leader in your life. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message tonight? Help us to see these truths. And I pray that we'll be better followers because of it. Bless, I pray. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. The word lead or led is in the Bible 157 times. The word follow or some form of it is used 253 times. So with that math, following is stressed 62% more often than leading. You say, "Man, I cannot wait to be the leader." You probably don't know what you're asking right there. You go to your job and you're like, "Man, I'm so fed up with leadership," but they're writing your check and you don't have any idea what all they're going through to keep the company going and moving forward. We teach our children from a young age, we teach them that follow the leader. You know, sometimes they come out of the children's assembly and somebody is the leader for the day. And I know we've had kids in the past where they're like, line up at the Sunday school door and in a certain class, and they'll fight over who gets to be the leader, and they'll elbow one another and that sort of thing. And by the way, you're not a leader if you're having to elbow people out of the way in order to say that you're the leader. But we teach our children to follow the leader. We must always be growing in the area of followership, and just be willing to, whoever it is that's guiding us, that's leading us, just follow how they're leading. Now, followership is the ability to take direction well, to get in line behind a program, to be part of a team, and to deliver on what is expected of you. So not only is it important that we be good followers, but also, I would say this, we must be careful who we follow. Be careful. I've met some boneheaded guys that they have a lot of philosophies and a lot of opinions, but they've never really been a leader of men. But they're very good about standing around and telling you how they would do it if they were in charge. I want you to look at Numbers chapter 16 with me, if you would, there towards the front of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. And I want you to see the mistake of following the wrong person. Numbers chapter 16. Of course, God had used Moses in a very great way to guide the children of Israel out of Egypt, and began to lead them across the promised land, and even led them to the threshold of the promised land, and they could have had a great victory, and they chose not to have that victory. But then there's this man named Korah. He had his own responsibilities, but he was not the ultimate leader there in Israel, and he didn't like the fact that he wasn't, and so he decided to cause trouble. So in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 1, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses. That means they rose up against Moses is what they did. With certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you." Now they were not saying, "Hey, pastor, let me help you." They were not saying, "Let me take a little burden off of you." They were saying, "Who do you think that you are? And you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. The Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And I noticed they weren't saying that when somebody had to go stand before Pharaoh. And I noticed they weren't saying that when somebody had to encourage the children of Israel to follow through the wilderness. They weren't saying that when they were standing at the Red Sea and Moses had to figure out what to do. They weren't saying that when the children of Israel needed food or they needed drink. They weren't saying that then, but suddenly they think, you know what? Moses kind of has this thing in the right place, and I think it's time to maybe show him he's not really the leader. He's not really the boss. So the Bible says that Moses, when he heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy." In other words, Moses says, "Hey, time will tell what order God has put things in here." And I don't have time to read it all for sake of time, but I tell you what, God was very upset. And Moses had a conversation with Korah, and then he said, "I want Dathan and Abiram. I want them to show up also." And the Bible says they would not come. Little cowards, little sissies. They could have little philosophical conversations on down at the ranch somewhere. They could have little conversations on the bus route about who did this and why and whatever. They could have these conversations about mom and dad when mom and dad weren't home. They could have these little conversations at work when the boss was maybe off for the day and you're in the break room and talk about how you would do it. But when it was time for them to own up and face up to the leader, those little cowards wouldn't even show up. And you know the story in number 16. The Bible says that the earth itself opened up and swallowed up Korah and all that pertained to Korah, and a plague came upon the people. So I'm saying to you, it's an interesting story, but I'm saying to you tonight that we're always following someone in our life, but be careful who you follow. Be careful about jumping on board with some wet behind the ears who has a couple of bright ideas, but who has never really accomplished much of anything. That could be at your job. That could be at church. That could be on your bus route. That could be anywhere. Someone wisely said that leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality. You see things, you plan things, you know things, and you're able to take that and make it come to fruition. But oftentimes, many followers, whether in family or in business or in church, they have great visions. And the Bible says that your young men shall see visions, but they have no idea how to translate that into reality. So it becomes nothing more than, well, I'll tell you what, I know what I do. And yet you've never pastored a day in your life. Well, I know what I'd do if I said, and you've never been a bus captain. Well, I know what I'd do down at my job, and you can't even make the rank of assistant floor sweeper. You know what Mr. Hutt would do, what you would do, and the mistakes that they're, it's easy when you're not in leadership to sit back, and there's a reason you're not in leadership, because your attitude stinks to begin with. Ronald Reagan said, the greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. He's the one who gets the people to do the greatest things. So we need leaders in our life, but we have to make sure that we are following the right leader and not just someone with big dreams and wild philosophies who honestly has no clue. Now, Elisha found a great leader in Elijah. And Elisha chose to be a great follower. Now, we read it there. We'll not read it again for sake of time. But how many times did Elijah say, hey, God sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said, I'm going with you. And Elijah said, hey, God has sent me to Jericho. And you stay here. And Elijah said that. And Elisha said, no, I'm going to keep on following you till the Lord takes you up into heaven. And the Lord sent me down to Jordan. He said, I'm going to follow you. And all these people are saying, you know, Elijah's not going to be around long. And you know how easy it would have been for Elisha to say, hey, he said, you know what? You're right. Elijah's not going to be around that long. I think I'm going to kind of do my own thing. He had a good follower in Elijah. We would all agree. But Elisha, a good leader in Elijah, but Elisha chose to be a good follower. I was thinking the other day about the fact we're coming up on this text. And this text can be preached 100 different ways, right? Because there are so many applications in this text. But I had the chance, I had the opportunity to go turkey hunt. It's a 6-week season. It ends this week. And I had one day to be able to go do it. So we pulled it off. And my younger brother, of course, you met him the other day. He's a good guy. We enjoy hanging out together when we can. I called him up on Wednesday. I said, it looks like I'm going to be able to get away Thursday evening. I said, you want to go? So we normally go to Lake Whitney where we deer hunt. And I said, I'll call and get the little motel there. And I said, let's spend the night. Let's hunt Thursday night, Friday morning, and we'll go home. And well, on my way in, Sean's pastor, Brother Andrew, who will be preaching here later this year. But Brother Andrew told Sean, he said, hey, you guys ought to go out to the ranch. He and his dad own a ranch outside of Cisco, out down Interstate 20. In fact, we were about 24 miles from where Brother Orm's dad, his dad died when he was a teenager, and where his dad was buried. It was about 24 miles from where we were there hunting. And so so there weren't any turkey. I don't think there are any turkey left in Texas, but we never heard a gobble. We saw like a 6-foot snake climbing up the side of the house. That was enough to scare you, but we didn't. But it was enjoyable, just a long drive. But we have a lot of history out there towards Stephenville and Lone Camp where my grandparents were. And also, Sean and I ran out there Thursday night. We spent the night and hunted a little bit Friday, and then drove back in. But as we were hunting, God began to illustrate the importance of followership to me, and I want to use that to kind of maybe help us tonight. Okay, whether it's our parents, and I've always said this, that young people, you kids that are still at home and you're in grade school, you're under the authority of mom and dad, or grandma, or grandpa, or whoever it is that's taking care of you. All right, now, if you're a grown adult, but you are still in their house, you are still under their authority. Now, I don't, Sarah lives there, and Josh is coming home tonight. Why? But, so, we're going back to the old days. But I don't, go to bed, you need to do this, I don't treat them like little kids. But I still expect that, you know, rooms are decent, clean, and they help out. She's not a problem. The other one I just give up on. But I can't get hung up here. But if you're an adult living with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you ought to be doing as much cleaning and laundry and helping out. I don't make my kids pay rent. I don't make them pay for groceries. I don't make them pay bills outside of their own personal stuff. But she helps out greatly around the house. That's the right thing to do. But if you're still living at home, you can't go there. I just don't tell me what to do. I don't care if you're 50 still living at home. They're still the authority in that house. So now I don't have to obey mom and dad, but there's a word called honor. You honor your mother and your father. If you get that at a young age, you'll do it naturally as a grown adult one day. You honor those people who paid the price to get you where you are. So whether it's our parents or whether it's your husband, no, you don't want to hear that in this day and age, but it's still in the Bible that he's a leader in the home. Whether it's your boss at work tomorrow, whether it's your pastor, we need to realize that leadership that God has placed in our life is a gift to us, and we're better off to follow it than to fight against it. If you fight against leadership, if you're a terrible follower, you'll reap what you sow one day. Or we can choose to follow those that God has placed over us. So let me give you some thoughts about it. I may run over a little bit, but I want to give you some thoughts about it tonight. We'll laugh a little bit, maybe, but other than those of you that don't, you couldn't find a personality on the clearance aisle at Walmart. But I laughed writing the notes on my phone following my brother across a turkey lease. I was like, oh, God, here's the message right here. What's the blessing of having leadership in our life? Number one is this. They're familiar with the path. They're familiar with the path. I love it. Sean said, man, what's up with you? He said, I've never been told I could hunt out there at their lease. And you come along, Brother Anderson says, hey, take your brother out there, let him hunt at the lease. He said, he goes out there all the time to help them. They have cattle, and they'll go out there and work the cattle and do whatever. He helps Brother Andrew and then Dad Wolfenbarger. So when Sean and I went out there, the thing about it is Sean knew the layout of the land. You know what was the beauty of it? I just got to simply follow. Some people think, man, leaders, they just always want to be the leader. Not the leaders that I know. Sometimes we just want to break and just say, man, so I just follow Sean's bald head across the lease. Put my, I was like the Andy Griffith Show, the little boy on there. I just follow Dad, you know, and Sean, they're familiar with the path. And so Sean just led me around the lease. Said, we're going to go down this road. Then there are going to be some tractors in the field. And before we step out there, we're going to call some turkey. Then we'll go down this road here. And then we'll cut back here. And there's a pond. And over here is a highway. I didn't even have to work. It's so good sometimes to follow a leader because they're already familiar. Kids, you act like you know everything and you know nothing. You're a kid at home. Your mom and dad have been there and done that. They're familiar with the path. You ought to follow them. Remember that Israel, as they were about to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land under Joshua's time, they were to follow the priests and the Levites and the Ark of the Covenant, but they were to stay back about a half a mile because he said, you've not passed this way heretofore. Your parents have been there, kids. After 23 years and 5 months as pastor, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and yet still am surprised at times with things I thought I can't be surprised anymore. And by the way, there are men that have been in the ministry a lot longer than I have. But go check how many have been in one spot for over 20 years. What I'm saying to you is I've had the blessing of seeing an entire generation grow up from birth to adulthood, and I've seen some things, and I've watched some things, and I've learned some things, and I'm familiar with the path. So thank God for the leaders in our life who are familiar with the path. Let's follow. Number two is ifs. The blessing of having those leaders. Number two, they fought some battles so that we don't have to. My dad fought the battle of dress standards in this church years ago. He came out of a church that didn't have dress standards. And there had to come a time in the early 90s where he said, you know what? This is the direction we need to go. And when I started, I didn't have to battle it as a church. It's still an every week battle. But I didn't have to battle it as a lot of guys my age are giving up on that battle too, because that builds churches quickly. But you want a carnal youth department? Just go ahead and give up on the dress standards. I promise you. There's a noticeable difference. They fought some battles so that we don't have to. You're going to have some battles in your life of your own, but why not follow those that have already cleared a better path for us? This is the funny part. I was walking behind Sean the other day, and I watched him all day. I got my shotgun on my shoulder. I'm And Sean is going, oh, oh, oh. And I am laughing. He can't hear. He has a problem hearing. And so he can't hear real well. I'm just dying laughing. I thought, man, this is good. He'll walk a little bit. And we got back to the, and he went to step, and he stepped on a, there was just a broken a tree, and it was like a stump like that. And he's like, what? He's falling. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk around that one right there. And we got back to the house, and he's back to the cabin. He said, man, I'm telling you what, I ran into 100 stinking spider webs in those woods. I said, I didn't hit one. I have no problem being a follower. What? Why would I see a clear path that works and someone's already cleared it for me, fought the battle for me, yet still attempt to do it my own way? I'm not a NASCAR fan anymore. I was, but they really messed it up with all their rules and all their craziness. If you've ever followed that, they really messed NASCAR up in the last 10 or 15 years. But Dale Earnhardt, I was watching a video the other day. Dale Earnhardt, of course, died. I was watching that race when he died, and his son and the stepmother, they didn't get along at all. And that stepmother and her pride, she drove that DEI, Dale Earnhardt Incorporated Racing, into the ground, and it shut down 9 years after the most popular racer in NASCAR died. 9 years later, the business doesn't even exist anymore. Why? Because what we do is we say, I know that's the path, and I know they've been doing it all that time. I think there's some better ways. They fought some battles, so we don't have to. Number three is this. The blessing of following leaders. Number three is this. They've taken some wrong paths. You say, how can that be a blessing? Well, no one is perfect. We're all prone to mistakes. We all have days and decisions that we'd like to take back. But if I follow the way that I should, then I can also learn from their mistakes. So I'm following my brother, and we're walking around the outskirts, because y'all know good hunters, if you're turkey hunting, you hunt on the fence line. Because you know they're always on somebody else's property, but you can call them over. Or Brother Orms, close enough. So we're walking the fence line, and we're up, and we get into some thicket. And I'm like, well, maybe he doesn't know the path. We get into some thicket, and Sean, you know, he's bald, and so he burns easily. So he already has what we would call a do-rag, you know, on. So he, like, puts on this thing, and then he puts on a face mask, and he's, like, putting his gloves on. I thought, oh, he's about to just run right through those bushes. It was, like, thick bushes with some thorns. I thought, he's just going to barrel right through it. And he's like getting ready. And I said, Sean, I'm just going to go over here, because 5 feet down there was a clearing. And you could walk all the way around the bush. He's like, oh, man, hey, that looks good. No one ever said any leader is perfect. But if they've already cleared a path, why don't we just keep, you know, Bob talks about finding the old paths and staying with the old paths. Why not just follow that? And then they've already fought some battles. Why would I go there and get my own cobweb? So why would I think, oh, well, I got all these bright ideas? They've already fought some battles for me. I'm going to have enough battles of my own. Let me learn from them. And then they're not perfect, and I shouldn't expect them to be perfect. And by the way, be careful, because it's easy when you're not busy with the leadership to find everything wrong with the person that is the leader. So they've taken some wrong paths, and you can learn from that. They could teach you from that. Or maybe you could see it. Number four is this. Next is this. The leader is still learning also. The leader's still learning also. Now, we weren't hearing any turkeys, so I had my shotgun up like that, and I had my phone, because I knew this passage. I've been reading it all week. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to, what are we, and it's like God laid it all. Elisha was following Elijah, and I knew that that's what I was going to preach on, something with leadership. And I started seeing that, and God started giving me the message. I'm thumbing it there in my phone, getting it on my notes on my phone, and so we get around a corner there on kind of the backside of the lease, 200-acre lease. We get around the corner. I probably shouldn't have my phone out, because there are rattlesnakes out there. Probably should have been watching for that, but, you know. But I want to say, number four, the leader is still learning also. So there's not a perfect leader. There's not an almighty, all-wise, you know, got it all together. That's God himself. And when you start picking at any of the negatives of a leader, may I just remind you that the greatest leader in the world had Judas Iscariot. The greatest leader in the world had all his followers forsake him in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's something about followership that you got to put on your back and say, you know what? I'm not always going to agree with that guy. I'm not always going to agree with that lady. I may not do it just like them. And they're not perfect, but I'm not going to beat them to death. We got this bad thing because all the social media cowards today about finding every old preacher and just beating them to death instead of thanking God for the benefits in their life. My parents' pastor, when we were there in where we were, I won't even go into detail, but their pastor, he really fell into some sin and some craziness, and all of it's not even fully understood. And he had to get out of the ministry, and he was in the ministry for decades and decades and decades. And he really had a poor marriage, to be honest with you. Even when I was a kid, his wife just, there was just a lot of questions there. But, you know, a few weeks ago, my mom stood up in here and said, hey, I called my pastor this morning and said, thank you. Thank you, because it was on this day that you led me to Christ. And we find one flaw, and we're ready to write everybody off in this generation. But you better get a mirror, and you better put your face as close to that mirror as possible. You're saying hide stuff? Oh, absolutely not. But if you're one of those that just sits around trying to dig stuff up on people, you're going to pay the price one day. The leader's still learning also, so we're walking around the lease, and we come around, there's this huge pond there. And Sean says, he says, man, I didn't know that was there. He says, that's probably a pretty good fishing spot. He says, I didn't know that was there. That's when I wrote it down. The leader's still learning also. We ought to be constantly learning and growing as teachers, as preachers, as song leaders, as musicians, as parents, as bosses, and as employees. All of us ought to always be learning and growing. And the moment you think you've arrived, you don't deserve that place of leadership anymore. And the flip side of that again is no leader is perfect in their flesh, in their spirit, in their decision making. If you're looking for perfection before you follow, you will never follow anyone. And it's usually the cowards who've never led anyone who spend their days finding something wrong with everyone who's trying to lead. Leaders still learning also. Just a couple more. Something else God gave me there walking across that lease is this. It's a benefit of having a leader in your life. The leader will watch out for us. You know, a pastor is called a shepherd. And I have loved over the years trying to protect this church and protect the flock of this church. I have people that hate my guts because I protect the flock of this church. I have people who are good people who left this church because their friends I wouldn't let back into the church because they were a cancer. Because, by the way, I sought counsel from other pastors. And these folks, I just think everybody ought to be able to come to church. You don't fully get it. I want to make sure that our church is protected, that kids are protected, that families are protected. I love protecting, but the leader will watch out for us. Sean's pretty energetic for a big guy. Of course, he was in the military. He's partially disabled with VA. He's partially disabled now. Something about his pinky, he gets a check once a month. But no, he's starting to develop other health problems now. He's got blisters, Brother Tim. He's got blisters on his arms from the burn pits in Iraq. Brother Tim probably dealing with things in his own life. And Sean is too, because when they were over there in Iraq. But Sean is still energetic, man. He's always calling me, man, I'm going to play golf. You going to play golf? No. Right, you want to go fishing? No. You want to drive out here? No. He's like, man, do you do anything anymore? I'm like, no. I got to be at the office. I got to go here. I got to be there. Somebody needs me here. And so we're walking across the deal, and I'm 49, and Sean is 45, so I'll be 50 in a few months. He'll be 46. And so I hate to tell y'all, but those last few years of 40s, man, they start showing up. And so Sean's walking. He's like, sun is beaming off his head. And so I'm like, and every once in a while, as a brother, and we really are close. And every once in a while, he'd turn around and say, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there." He'd say, he'd stop. You know, he was just checking on me. You know, the benefits of having a leader in your life, they'll see things in us that others won't see. And they'll help us better ourselves if we're willing to follow. I love it. The leader will watch out for us. Next is this. Two more and we'll go. I want to say this. Follow them while you can. We're walking across that old place there, and Brother Wolfenbarger, Dad Wolfenbarger's in his 80s now, mid-80s. He's like a month. He's either a month older or a month younger than Brother Bob Smith. And Dad Wolfenbarger was a big coon hunter in his younger days. And now, Dad Wolfenbarger, I mean, there are times that Sean has had to sit behind him when he's preaching and had to catch him because he's falling. And he'll get up and he's in his eight, and I don't want to say what I'm not supposed to say, but he's not able to preach as much as he used to, and it's I think the preaching's coming down to an end because it's hard to get up and do those things. And he'll get up, his lapel mic will fall, and he won't realize that it did, and he'll get embarrassed. And so thank God for his faithfulness. But we're walking across his ranch there. And I said, man, Sean, what is that? And it was some dog cages and some dog kennels and grass is growing up all in it. He said, that's Brother Wolfenbarger's. That's where he used to bring his coon dogs out here when they used to go hunting. And I thought, man, what history. What history that is. And I'm saying to you, follow your leaders while they can because they ain't always going to be around. There's going to come a time where maybe you lose a parent. There's going to come a time where maybe you lose a spouse. There's going to come a time where maybe you lose a pastor. And so you don't want to spend your days fighting against God-given leadership in your life, only to look up one day and you wasted the years and the time that God had given you. Follow them while you can. Learn while you can. Realize you don't know it all. Allow yourself to be corrected and taught. Early on, for years there, I would seek counsel, of course, from my dad. And then others. I've called Brother Bob Smith on countless times. I said, Brother Smith, what would you do in Sunday school here? Or what would you do there? How would you? And of course, over the years, I've also, for probably 20 years now, I've looked to Brother Angel for several things. I emailed him yesterday. And so, Brother Angel, I just want to ask you a question real quick. I didn't want to bother him, so I didn't call him. I just sent him an email. I thought he'll get it when he gets it. And I said, you know, something. I said, what? I said, I was bothered by it. I said, but would you tell me, is this wrong or is my spirit just wrong? Leaders need to be corrected too. Leaders aren't always right. And I was happy because he said, Brother Jeremy, he said, no, you're right about it. I was like, yes. But I wanted to make sure I kept my spirit in check. I want to make sure I wasn't just, well, listen, I'm in my late 40s now. I don't have to ask anybody else what they think or their advice. Yes, I do. I still want to be learning and growing. Follow them while you can. The last one is this. Realize that it's okay to be different than your God-given leaders. I've never preached a cookie cutter type church. Never preach. If you'll part your hair a certain way, then you could be a preacher boy, or if you'll wear certain kind of dress shoes or whatever, that's craziness. And I don't know many people that do that. I know sometimes kids in fundamental Baptist churches sometimes they try to look like the preacher. And I notice a few of our kids have bellies, so I know it's, you know, I'm proud to be a hero, but it's okay to be different than your God-given leaders, but it's not okay to be prideful. It's not okay to be stubborn. It's not okay to be rebellious. Give honor to whom honor is due. Elisha was different than Elijah, but there are some ways he just continued to follow. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? There are some things he continued to do the same way. Maybe you'll do some things a little different as a parent, or some things a little different in your marriage, or some things a little different when you become the assistant manager at work or the manager at work, or maybe some things that you do a little different one day when you're the pastor or you're a pastor or whatever it may be. And you have the freedom to make your own choices. But Elisha showed us how to follow our leaders until our time comes to lead. And then may I just remind us all tonight again that there's There's never a time when you don't have a leader in your life. Aren't you glad that God, you know, I don't say this for me, I say this just in general. Aren't you glad that no matter what your age is, God said, I want to make sure you have a pastor till the day you die. And it might have been Brother Carl Ogden back then, and it might be me now, and it may be someone else at some point. But I'm glad that God said, you know what, and I've got pastors. My dad is my pastor. Brother Anderson has become my pastor coming back here. Brother Bob Smith is my pastor. Brother Angel is my pastor. Why? Because I don't know it all. And the more I think I know, the more I realize I don't know and I don't have the answer. And yes, it's a little different because they did not pastor. Dad didn't pastor through the craziness of the post-COVID world. And he didn't pastor through the times of all this crazy social media. It's a different world. But I can follow basic principles. Don't be afraid to be a follower. And if you'll be a good follower, I promise you, if you'll humble yourself, the Bible says God will exalt you in due time. And I know what many of you are saying, man, I just soon be a follower. I just keep on doing whatever it is I need to do to be a help and a blessing to others. But don't fight against leadership in your life. Kids, don't fight against leadership in your life. It will never work. It will never work for you to disobey God's word. It will never work to dishonor your mom and dad. You cannot disobey God and look up one day and say, man, now I'm 30 and everything's great in my life. It will not work. The Bible says you're going to live a longer life if you treat your parents the right way. So.